Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 6. Hear now the word of the Lord. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira, named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. The Lord bless this reading of his word for us today. If you didn't catch all of those place names and cities, and that's okay. We'll be talking about it this morning. And if you are having trouble from the back seeing it, we have made arrangements for you to have the front rows open. So those in the back can sit right in the front rows right here. We've even installed phone chargers to encourage people to sit in the front rows. So. It's a simple passage, really. Geographically, a little laborious if you're not familiar with the terrain, and hence the map this morning. But there's a reason that Dr. Luke included these details in his writings. And it's not just because he likes to talk about geography for geography's sake. More than that, what we have read is yet another story of the spread of the Church of Jesus Christ across the land by the power and the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. The power and the presence of the risen Lord Jesus, the power of the resurrection, continues to impact people through the followers of Jesus. The church continues to grow and people continue to come to faith. All kinds of people, all sorts of people, men and women, Roman soldiers and violent criminals, Jews and Gentiles, people from the Middle East, people from Ethiopia, people from the continent of Europe. The gospel continues to spread. The church continues to grow and to spread across the land, too, by the power of the Spirit. There's some important themes in our little reading this morning, our short reading this morning, and we'll want to talk about some of those themes today. And the first is that we have Paul and his companions making these plans, and they're strategizing, and while God has a different direction in mind. God would rearrange the circumstances of life in order to send Paul and his companions in a completely different area than where they had planned. And so the role of the Holy Spirit in directing our lives is an important theme in today's reading. And then the spread of the gospel in Europe is an important theme, and so is the sovereign work of the risen Lord in opening the hearts and minds to just be receptive to the gospel of Jesus. But first, there's more than a couple of different ways people can approach life. One way is to consider that everything that happens is always and only a direct result of our decisions, our actions, our behaviors. This may be more of a deist approach to life. Yeah, God is up there. He's out there somewhere. He's created everything. He set the laws of nature in motion, but he's not really involved in human affairs. God is up there and out there, but he's not down here with me. And so the onus is on us to make good decisions and wise choices and to strategize and plan in ways that would improve our lives or to make for a better world. Because after all, it's on us, because God, he will not interfere in human affairs. That's one way to approach life, one way that some Christians approach life. Another way people may approach life is to believe that everything is always up in the air and outside of our control. This is a very passive approach to life. God will do what God will do, and we have no say or choice in the matter. So we give up any control that we do have. We surrender our ability to plan for the future or to strategize for a better life or a better world. In this approach to life, God is overly involved in the world, so much so that people think they are just unthinking, powerless beings, pawns on a chessboard of life. What can I do? Why should I pray? God will do what God will do anyway, right? In my experience, I've found this approach to life to be an excellent way to avoid responsibility. If God is overly involved and overly in control in this way, then, well, if anything goes awry, if anything bad happens, then it's got to be God's fault. In this approach to life, people can easily say, I'm not responsible, I'm just little old helpless me. And the person with this approach to life sits back and wonders why the family's crumbling, why the finances are disappearing, why the job isn't working out, why nothing is ever getting done by anybody. Instead of thinking, I know you can't do anything, God, because you're way up there and out there, that first approach to life, they might think, God, I know you are doing everything, so I can just sit back and watch the world burn. All the while, God may be asking you to be the one to do something. Well, of course, there's got to be a middle ground, a middle road through all of this. There's got to be an approach to life that's somewhere between the all or nothing approach to life. What if we do strategize and plan, and God works too? What if we do work hard and build and plan for the future, and God is working and planning and directing us? What if the risen Lord Jesus Christ were with us always, just as he said he would be? It takes faith to believe that God has a plan for our lives and that he's directing us and our circumstances and world events. It takes faith to believe and trust and even to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. Could God be that involved? Could the Holy Spirit nudge me, communicate to me in some way, shape, or form, to change directions, to give spontaneously, to call up somebody in need, or to give up a way of life that's been suffocating my soul? Could God be that dynamic in our lives? Could God communicate his will, his direction to us in some shape or fashion in that way? So in answering these questions, I wonder how you understand these accounts we've been reading from the book of Acts. Was God only involved and active in certain times in the Bible in people's lives, but not anymore? Or could he still be directing people, nudging people with the direction of the Holy Spirit? Could he still be communicating his will to his followers today? How do you understand it? How do you understand this reading from the book of Acts, chapter 16, and the conversion story of Lydia? How do you make sense of people coming to faith in the Lord today? So first, let's take a look at the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Many would acknowledge that God does direct their lives today, but many live as if there is no God, or at least there's no way of knowing that God is communicating his will to them. And so they plan and they strategize as if God is not around, as if God does not communicate his will to them. But we see the opposite in the early church as the apostles travel across what is Asia Minor, or today modern-day Turkey. Just prior to our passage is the major church-wide discussion about allowing Gentiles into the church and not requiring circumcision, the Jewish rite. In chapter 15, verse 28, in the letter to the churches, it says, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." And this was a major church council as elders and the apostles of the churches got together to discuss this theological issue. And they got together to discern the leading of the Holy Spirit. And their conclusion in their letter was that it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So there's this cooperation at work between the believers and the Holy Spirit as they prayed together, as they discerned together, as they debated together. The apostles and other leaders in the churches gathered in Jerusalem discussing this decision. And each individual church didn't do just what was right in their own eyes, but they decided to be in covenant together, to work together, to pray together, to discern truth together as the church. That's one of the reasons why our church is in covenant with other churches in the Christian Reformed Church. The church gathers at Synod real soon here in June to discuss important matters of the whole church that affect us all. And in doing so, as the delegates come together, they will be praying for the leading, the directing, the movement of the Holy Spirit to give them wisdom as they deliberate, as they discuss, and as they debate. Just like in the Acts of the Apostles, it talks about the debating and the fierce discussions that took place over that issue. And then in chapter 16, verses 4 and 5, it says, as they traveled from town to town, primary means of communication, they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So there's an expectation that as the church gathered together, as the church made decisions together, that these decisions would be followed through and carried out and applied in all of the individual churches. In the Jerusalem Council, the churches worked together this way. And then it says, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. You see, that level of mutual commitment, discernment, cooperation among the churches and cooperation with the Holy Spirit created a strong witness for the world to see. And so Paul and his companions, shall we call them the fellowship of the gospel, they're traveling. And it says that in verse 6 and following, they traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. And they're right through here. Phrygia, Galatia. And they're traveling through here and they get to Asia and they want to preach in Asia, but the Holy Spirit doesn't let them. They're kept from preaching in Asia. How could God say no to a good thing? You ever wonder that? How could God say no to a good thing? God, I want to do this. I want to help the poor. God, I want to go across the seas and go on the short-term mission trip. God, I want to do this for somebody else, but God says no. Why would God say no to a good thing? I mean, after all, we're talking about preaching the gospel here, the word of God. But they were kept from going to Asia, the province of Asia. Why? Well, kept by what? By the Holy Spirit, it says. It seems they were probably heading toward the city of Ephesus, right here, a major city in the area. But they couldn't do that. And back in chapter 15, verse 36, it says, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where they preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. See, Paul is on his second missionary journey. And his second missionary journey seems to be a follow-up to his first missionary journey. And in Paul's mind, this is a pastoral care visit. This is a pastoral visit, quote-unquote, to see how they are doing. That's what Paul's expecting. That's what he's strategizing and planning for. But God has other plans, doesn't he? God has other plans for this trip. The Holy Spirit kept them from ministering in the province of Asia. So they couldn't go south. This is the road they're on. They couldn't go south and travel over here to minister. They get to Mysia, it says, and they try to go to Bithynia and head north. And so they couldn't go north. It says the Spirit of Jesus didn't let them go north to Bithynia. So they came from the east. They can't go south. The Spirit prevents them from going there. The Spirit of Jesus prevents them from going to Bithynia. So they go in the only direction they can go is from Mysia over to Troas by the sea. And during the night, that's where the Apostle Paul gets this vision. This man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. Macedonia is this landmass over here, the European continent. Come over and help us is his vision. So Paul and the others, they take this vision as a prompting from God, the leading of the Holy Spirit. In verse 10, it says, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. This was direction from God. And all of a sudden, did you notice the change in our reading, in our story? It was they all the way before verse 10. Now we get the we. We got ready at once. Well, who's the we? I believe it's talking about maybe Dr. Luke, that in Troas is where we pick up Dr. Luke, Paul and his companions, the author of the Gospel of Luke and Acts. The Holy Spirit directed or redirected them so that they would continue to head west, pick up Dr. Luke, and eventually bring the gospel to Macedonia on the European continent, beginning with the individual named Lydia and her household. Does God still work in this way? Does he still work this way today? Does the Holy Spirit direct you, guide you? You ever feel in your life that you've been redirected by the Holy Spirit, encouraged to go in a different way, and concluded that, hey, it was God that was leading me that way? What role does the Holy Spirit have in directing your life? So next, we want to look at the sovereign role of the risen Lord in opening the hearts and minds to be receptive to the gospel. The sovereign role of the risen Lord to open hearts and minds to the gospel. See, Lydia is another important woman in the book of Acts. You remember Dorcas? We're picking up more and more of these women who have believed in the Lord. Lydia is the first convert in Europe, a sign of the power and the reach of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. In verse 11, it says, the fellowship sailed out to Troas and headed for the island of Samothrace. It's a little island right there. And then the next day, it says, they got on ship and they headed out to Neapolis, a little seaside village. And then from Neapolis, it says they ended up in Philippi, about 10 miles inland right here. Very important city. Philippi is a very important city because it was laid along the route of the Ignatian Way, a major highway system running east and west in the Roman Empire, connecting east and west together. It's also where Roman soldiers, retired Roman soldiers, would stay. It was a retirement village. The Apostle Paul is strategizing. He's planning. He could stay at Neapolis and begin there. That's a little seaside village. If he goes to Philippi, that's a major leading or first district in the region of Macedonia, the capital city, if you will. If he goes there and it's along this major highway route, then the gospel could quickly spread out because those retired Roman soldiers, they could freely travel throughout the empire pretty easily. And so the gospel could spread quickly if they get to Philippi. I don't think we like to think about the human element in evangelism. But there it is. Paul got this vision, he had this understanding, this man begging him to go to Macedonia, so he gets there, but maybe he doesn't have any other clear directions exactly what he's supposed to do, so he is thinking ahead, and he's thinking, there's Philippi, a major city. If he gets there, if he gets the gospel to get a foothold there, he could really spread quickly from there. So the Holy Spirit directs, and at the same time, Christians plan, strategize, and do the work of prayer and evangelism and listening to the Holy Spirit. It's not either or. It's not just all God, and it's not just all human effort. There's a cooperation going on, and we see that throughout the book of Acts. So what happened on the Sabbath while the fellowship was in Philippi? Usually Paul would immediately go to a Jewish synagogue. He would find connections, places where he could gain a hearing, possibly. And so he usually begins there. But it appears that there aren't enough men to begin a synagogue in Philippi. 10 is the magic number. But even so, God-fearers and Jewish women would gather together, and they would have informal worship services and prayer times together. And so Paul knew this, and he went down for a walk by the river on that Sabbath morning, where it says they expected to find a place of prayer. Now, Paul had this vision of a man calling him to Macedonia to help him. And in that day and age, publicly speaking with women was probably frowned upon. That's exactly what they do. They go down to the river to this place of prayer, and they meet with these women, and they begin to talk to them about Jesus. And one of the women is from a city called Thyatira, right here in Asia, one of the cities they passed on their way over. The Holy Spirit kept them from going to that city because Lydia was on a business trip. They couldn't meet her there in her hometown. They had to go all the way up to Philippi. And now, here we have an independent businesswoman named Lydia. We don't know a lot about her, but it says she's a dealer. A dealer in purple cloth, that is. Her hometown was known for the madder root and taking the juice from the madder root and turning it into a purple dye to dye clothing, which was very unique in that day. It also says she was a worshiper of God. So they sat down with these women, and they began to tell them about Jesus. And God could have used his Spirit to bring Lydia to faith, just his Spirit. But that's not what he did. No, God in his sovereignty had chosen to use his obedient, faithful, and listening servants to travel with the gospel message and to tell others about it. But the story of Lydia coming to faith isn't about the Apostle Paul's preaching or how dynamic he was or how much he knew. The story of Lydia coming to faith was about the sovereign role of the risen Lord to change hearts and minds, to make them receptive to the gospel. Without the Lord's work on the inside, no amount of work on the outside is going to bring someone to a genuine faith in the Lord Jesus. Without the sovereign role, the work of the sovereign role of Jesus on the inside, no amount of work on the outside is going to bring somebody to a faith in Jesus. In the end of verse 14, and this is a key verse, it says, "The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message." The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. She became a believer in Jesus, and it was the Lord who opened her heart. That's key. Not Lydia's decision-making ability, not her choice, not her will, not the persuasive techniques of Paul, but the Lord's work on the inside. And that's why we pray that the Lord would open hearts and minds of our loved ones who have not yet received the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We pray that the Lord would do a work on the inside, that the Lord would change their hearts, that the Lord would illumine their minds, that they would be receptive to the gospel. We know that only God saves, and only God can open the heart to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That salvation is the sovereign work of God. You see, the Apostle Paul and his companions, the fellowship, they made plans. They strategized. They had goals. They made efforts to reach their goals in prayer and in faithfulness to the Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit directed and redirected their plans in order to accomplish the Lord's will and purposes. In other words, they weren't just headstrong and stuck in their own ways and their own goals. And God says, go here, and I'm going here no matter what, and stop listening. No, they kept listening. They kept their ears open, listening to the Holy Spirit wherever they went. And the Holy Spirit directed, redirected their plans, and the Spirit sent them directly to an individual in prayer alongside of a river, a woman named Lydia. And the Lord intervened in the heart and life of this individual woman in order to bring her to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And she would bring the gospel to her family and her household. Can you imagine it? Affecting generations? One woman, one family, one Lord, generational change. One woman, one family, one Lord, generational change, impacting generations with the gospel of Jesus. Might he also intervene in your life or in the life of your loved one to bring them to a saving faith in Jesus, to be born, where faith would be born, maybe for the first time, where faith would grow? Might God send a servant with a gospel message, someone who listens to the promptings of the Holy Spirit? Might God even send you or call you to full-time ministry, parish pastoral ministry, or a missionary work? Maybe he's calling you today. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. That's what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 19-22. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid all kinds of evil. I think this morning we can come away from this passage with some principles of evangelism. Evangelism is basically telling others about Jesus with the hope and expectation and the goal that they themselves would put their faith in Jesus to be saved too. As the Lord directs, as the Holy Spirit leads. So the first principle of evangelism I think we could go away with this morning is to trust the Holy Spirit to guide. Trust the Holy Spirit to guide and direct and redirect as he leads us to the just the right person who needs to hear the gospel. God opens and he closes doors and he brings us to just the right person or place that we need to be. That open door may not necessarily lead us to health and wealth and worldly success and comfort. It may lead us to suffering for the sake of the gospel. But wherever that door leads us to, go through it. And when you get through it, look for the mission opportunity and ask yourself, Lord, what are you doing here? And how can I join in? Because God is always at work. Then be ready to share your faith and to talk about Jesus. Now, there's a lot of talk today about using words if necessary. A lot of talk about actions, right? And social justice and doing good things and good deeds, which is all great stuff. But use words too. We need to use words. We need to tell people about Jesus Christ. 63%, folks. Talked about this before, 63% of people in our area here in Big Rapids, around Big Rapids, don't go to church. Probably do not know much about who Jesus is, do not have a living faith with him. 63%. We got to tell people about Jesus. We have to use our words. Invite someone to a worship service or a home-based small group. Trust the Holy Spirit to guide, lead, direct, or redirect. The second principle of evangelism is to look for points of connection. Just as the Apostle Paul would look for a major city or he'd look for a synagogue to begin to get a hearing for the gospel of Jesus Christ, look for points of connection or commonality that you have with someone as you're sharing your faith. Third, remember that God saves. When we share our faith, it is not always our job to close the deal, so to speak. Your faithfulness, your witness, your profession of faith might be one of a long string of testimonies or witnesses that are necessary to bring someone to faith in Jesus Christ. Always remember that God will use your faithfulness. And remember that it is God who saves, not us. He opens the heart and the mind to the gospel, just as he did with Lydia. Our story concludes today with Lydia and the members of her household being baptized. Her household may have included family and servants, as well as small children and maybe infants as well. They all received the sign of the covenant in those baptismal waters. God was working, and so did his faithful followers to bring the gospel good news that Jesus saves all the way to a new continent. Praise God that he continues to lead the church and even directs and redirects his people today. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit this morning. Give us a heart for the lost and a contagious desire to share the good news about Jesus. Lord, we don't want to go out in our own power and strength, and so we wait upon your Holy Spirit to direct and redirect us to those opportunities. We thank you, Lord, for salvation, for that salvation that is not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. Teach us to be respectful of others, Lord, and to be honest and open about our own values and beliefs in Jesus, just as others are so open about their own beliefs, as various as they are. Grant us the courage to be the truth tellers you have called us to be, and lead us by your Spirit in making disciples of all nations and turning disciples into disciple makers, trusting always in your enduring presence, that you are with us. We give you all the praise and all the glory this day, praying in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.